The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Samech Dalet, and we're in the middle of the Yomid, daf Samech Gimel Amid Beis, the two dots, Rabba v'Rav Yosef. So the last daf and a half has been discussing the Seifa of the Mishnah in the beginning of the Perek, Ezeu Tarbis, which is really a Sugya and daf Ayin Beis Amid Beis, which discusses a case of Ribis Dirabonon, Ribis Derech Mekach Umemkar. The exact case was Ein Poiskin Ala Peres Acheyetze Ashar. Reuven has a business, he sells chitin. He has a supplier, Shimon, who supplies him with the chitin that he sells. Says the Mishnah, it's not so simple for Reuven to give Shimon money at the beginning of the year, fix an agreed upon price for future delivery of chitin that Shimon, his supplier, is going to give him so that he can go ahead and sell it retail. The reason is, because being that the price of chitin can fluctuate to the extent that the price of chitin goes up in value, so that at the time that Shimon delivers the chitin to Reuven, it will have been worth more money, it's a possibility, than the money that Reuven gave Shimon. It'll come out that Shimon's giving Reuven more than Reuven gave Shimon, and clearly the reason he's agreeing to do that is because Reuven fronted him money. He gave him money in advance, which is agar natar. It's very much similar to ribis. It's not ribis deiraisa, number one, because it's not derech halva, it's derech mekach umemkar. Additionally, it's not ribis kitzutza. However, stating that, being that there isn't a ribis element, it's also, Mishnah gave two examples of when it would be okay. Number one, if the moicher, in this case Shimon, has the chitin already in his possession at the time that Reuven fronted him the money, then it would be fine. Even if Shimon doesn't have the money, the second exception would be if Yotza Hashar, meaning there's a fixed price, it's over l'seicher, it's very easy for Shimon to take the money that he got and go buy those chitin, in that case too, there would be no iser. So if it's yeshloi, that's the magic word, or yotza hashar, that's the other magic word, either one of those cases, that would allow the halacha, as long as Shimon can go buy the chitin right now, he can buy it. So he can take the money that Reuven gave him and he can buy it. That would be enough for there to be no ribis issue right here. So some of the cases that we learned in the last daf and a half were, what would be a case where Reuven's not giving Shimon money physically right now? All he's doing is taking a chayv that is outstanding between Reuven and Shimon. He's using that chayv as currency to now purchase the chitin, being that there's no money trading hands, so could be over there, Yotze Ashar wouldn't help, could be even Yeshloi wouldn't help, Rabba, Abaya, Rava, either way, the Gemara now is going to teach us another halacha regarding that mission of Ein Poiskin Peiris Acheyetze Ashar. However, not with regards to Hilchas Ribis, but more of a general halacha that's Nogei Choshe Mishmat Rabba, V'Rab Yosef, Da Amri Travayu. Hai Mandi Yov Zuzi Yatar Charifa. If somebody gives his friend money, he wants to buy chitin from him. Atar Charifa. What does Tar Charifa mean? An early shar, meaning the real shar, where the price of these commodities are efficient and fixed, has not yet emerged. But there's a Tara Harifa, there's a earlier Shar, for this reason Makdimim, there is a price, but that price is subject to change. So it was Yotza Shar, but not the real Shar, it was a Tara Harifa, says Rabba and Rav Yosef, Tzorech Les Chazrir Beidari. In order for this kinyan to be consummated, forget ribbis, in order for the kinyan to be consummated, the buyer would have to appear at the Goyrin, where the seller has this Tfuah that he's selling, says the Gemara Lamai. With regards to what kinyan are we discussing? Elam Mikna, do we mean a full-fledged kinyan? Halekani. We're talking about metaltalin, and we know that metaltalin is not niknas pekesef. That's the first sugi in Perakazov. Machloikis, Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish. Whether midiraisa mois koinos, it's only midirabonon that it's not koinah. But midirabonon, it's certainly not koinah. So regardless, hayman diyov zuzi, with regards to metaltalin is not koinah. You can't tell me that in order for the kinyan to be chal, tzorech lis chazri lebeidor. As if to say that if he'll be there, then the kinyan will be chal. The kinyan is anyways not going to be chal. How is metaltalin niknas? But meshicha. So there's no question that the buyer would have to go and not just be there, but do Mashicha. He says the Gemara, maybe the Kabbalah and Misha Para, because the Mishnah did say in the beginning of Parak Azov that even though Mois is not Koinois, that's Kinyan Gomer. But it is Koinois with regards to Misha Para, that if the seller backs out after he received the money from the buyer, he has to take upon himself the klolas of Mishapara, Me'ansha Dar HaMabul, Dar HaFlogos, Dar HaMoira, Mitzim Shetava Bayam. So maybe that's where it's Negeya, but the Gemara's cash is, then where do you find this halacha? Ki loy mischazi nami mekabla ala Mishapara. The only time the Meicher is taking upon himself a Mishapara is if the buyer showed up at his store, and if he didn't show up at his store, there's no Mishapara. Says the Gemara, yeah, loy lam the kabula ala Mishapara. Really what we mean is Mishapara. We understand there's no Kinyan Gomer that could take place. Al Yudei, the Meicher doing Meshicha on the Kesef when he's selling Metalton. What we mean is Mishapara. However, the Metzias is that when people used to give money to distributors based on the earlier shar, they would give it not just to one person, but they would give it to two people, they would give it to three people. It's for that reason the Meicher has a right to say that even though you gave me money, in my mind, I wasn't positive you really wanted to buy my pears. Meaning you figure that you're going to give money to a few different people, diversify, and you'll see how the shar plays out, how the tefuah plays out, and you're going to decide based on that which tefuah you want to buy. But the Meicher has a right to think that this buyer is not so serious. It's for that reason. If the buyer shows up at his storefront, then some chadaite, then he can't come with this tain anymore. I showed up at your store. I looked at it. I touched it. I felt it. I wanted to see it. I'm a serious buyer. Oh, I'm a serious buyer. You have to be a serious seller. And if you, the seller, back out, even though the kinyan wasn't completed, but there's a mishapara, the eloi, if the buyer doesn't show up, I'm like, you can tell him, you know, I assume deshkachas peri deshvir mididi, that you're out looking for other pairs, maybe pairs that's better, v'shoklis, and yeah, I wasn't so convinced that you were buying, meaning I never really had a smichas das, thus there's no mishapar. Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi said, now that we just explained Rabban Rav Yosef Salacha, that it's based on the moicher, yes, having smichos das or not having smichos das, so that when the buyer shows up, there's a smichos das. When he doesn't show up, there's no smichos das. Then you'll have to say that when Rabbi Yosef said, tzorich l'schazui l'beidwari, the buyer has to show up at the store, at the goyrin, where the seller has his tfua, it's lav dafka, meaning, afilo ashkechei b'shuk, even if you meet him in the street, v'amalei, some chadaite, and he would tell him, listen, I'm letting you know, that money that I gave you, I plan on following through with it. I'm not putting money with other people and gonna then make the determination whose schayra I want to take. I want yours. Meaning, beidari is lav dafka. Beidari is just the proper. It's the vehicle that gets us to a place where the meicher has to be so mechdas, and he can't come later and say, I didn't think you were a serious buyer. But if he met him in the street and he told him I'm a serious buyer, it's the same exact thing. Amar Rav Nachman. And this next line is one of the more important lines in Perek Yezeu Neshach. Klola de Ravisa, the general rule as it relates to Ribbis is, kol agar naterle osir. Let's see Rashi. What does agar naterle mean? Schar hamtona. Anytime I charge you money for having my money, for making me wait to either receive shipment of schayra in a case of ribis derabanan derech mekachememkar, or if I charge you money for having my money in a classic case of derech hava, maybe even ribis deiraisa. That's always the definition of ribis. And Rashi explains it further. In other words, imoizel gabei mishon mantana, that any time a seller tells a buyer, I'll give you a cheaper price if you allow me to have your money a little bit longer, that is always going to be awesome. If somebody gave zuzim to a kira, somebody that sold wax, and the going rate for wax was four things of wax for a zuz, and the meicher told the buyer, hey, if you give me the money up front, if there's a agar natar, if there's a hamtonas mois, if you're makdim li the mois, I'll give you five for a zuz, not four for a zuz. In other words, he's giving him a cheaper price because of the fact that he's giving him the money up front. If the meicher has this wax in his possession right now, shari, it's okay. Less nukabe. If he doesn't have it, aser. Fake the gemara pshita. Why is it pasha? That's the mission that I am bezam and bez. That's ribis derabonon derech mekachumemker 101. Ribis derech mekachumemker is only ribis derabonon. And wherever it's yeshloi, or even if it's einloi, if it's yatsa ashar, that is a way to circumvent ribis derabonon. So it's true this is ribis, but it's ribis derabonon. Why? Because I'm not borrowing money. I'm buying something. I'm buying wax. You're giving me a cheaper price for hamtonas mois. As long as it's yeshloi, that should be okay. Says the Gemara Leitzricha, the case was the islay ashroi b'masa. Really, it was einloi. He didn't have it. However, he the seller was also a buyer, meaning he had given his distributor money and was waiting shipment of the schayra, the produce, that he was now going to sell. I would have thought that it's as if he has it, and it's similar to a case that we're going to see later, where if a person has it, he just doesn't have access to it this second, because his son has it, and his son's in yeshiva, or he lost the key to the warehouse where he has the tefuah. That naturally is considered yeshla, meaning even though he physically doesn't have access to it this second, but he has title on it, it's in his rishos, it's his, so that's okay. I would have thought that maybe this is also yeshla, kamash malon, this is different. Keep it in the chesed, goodbye, command the last of the dummy. At the end of the day, you have to get it from your supplier, and your supplier, at the last minute, might pull a shtick on you, and you may not end up getting it. So if I have it in my rishos, I just have to wait for my son to come home to give it to me or to find a mafteach. That's a real yeshloi. This is not a real yeshloi. I would have thought maybe it is, and that's what Rav Nachman was being mechadish. Rav Nachman really said two chidushim in Hilchas Ribbis. Number one, he gave us the general rule of klala de revisa kol agar natale os. Incidentally, the Rishonim discussed kol agar natale. The word kol is coming to me marba something. And really, Rav Nachman, the whole spirit of Rav Nachman at first glance seems obvious. Now, it's obvious because Rav Nachman said it, and that's why we know it consciously and subconsciously, but Rav Nachman was saying a chiddush here. I am showing him exactly what Rav Nachman's chiddush was. Maybe we'll talk about that in the coming daffin. But Rav Nachman said a second chiddush, that to the extent that the moicher doesn't have it, even if there's purchase orders out and he already put money up for it, and if the seller backs out, there'll be a mishapara, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is if he doesn't have it in his rishus right now, it's not considered yeshloi, it will be ribis derabbanav. I'm Rav Nachman. Another halach Rav Nachman said, "Hi, man, the oizav pshita mechavrei. If somebody borrowed money from his friend, the ashkech beitu faino, and he was supposed to have borrowed $1,000, he starts counting the money, a little more than $1,000. So ibik deshat as toya, if it's an amount that you could assume that maybe the lender made a mistake, well, mechayv laduri lightning, you have to give it back to him. Ve'ilav, but if it's not mistaber, it's not probable that the lender would have made a mistake, matana ba'amud yavle, we could assume that he's giving him a matana, and you have a right to keep it. Says the Gemara, hechidami b'kdesha das toya. What's an example of b'kdesha das toya? Amr Abach b'reder of Yosef, b'esuraisa v'chum shaisa. If the mistake was a multiple of 10 or a multiple of 5, today you would say, let's say a multiple of 100. So you were supposed to get $600, and you counted $700. So you could say that maybe he was counting 20, 40, 60, 80, 100. 20, 40, 60, 80, 200. 20, 40, 60, 80, 300. And he got confused between 600 and 700. It's a multiple that would make sense of people with mistake. But if he was supposed to get $600, and he got $641.12, doesn't sound like he made him, oops, I didn't realize it was 641.12. I thought it was 600. It sounds like he knows that he's giving you some extra shekels, and he's doing it for a reason. What if this person that gave you the money, we all know really well, there's no way he gave you a matana. He's just not that kind of guy. What's the halacha then? You know what? If he's not that kind of guy, he's the other kind of guy. Maybe he stole money from you, you don't know. And he's just including it in the money that he's quote unquote lending you because he's not man enough to look you in the eye and say, I stole from you, I'm being Makai Maya Shavasak Zela. So he's being Mavliya in this law. The Tanya, and the truth is, that is Ashavasak Zela. It's a Brisa. If somebody steals from his friend, and he included the Gzela in the Cheshbon Yotzah. Meaning, you don't have to tell the Nigzal that I'm returning it. As long as you get it to him, that in itself is okay. Let's say he's a person that the borrower never met. There's no way they never did business together. It's not possible that he stole from him. So he's not a good guy. He's not giving him a matana. But he also couldn't have been a goslin. So at that point, do we assume for sure that there's a ta'is? Says the Gemara. Amale, no. Dilma inish achrina gazle. You could always assume that maybe somebody else stole from him. And even that someone else that stole, he's not even man enough to be mavliya by himself in the cheshbon. So he asked somebody, do me a favor. When you lend him money, throw in a few extra dollars, I'll make you whole. But the reason is so that he can act as a shliach for the real goslin. Either way, we always assume that there is a cheshvin over here, why he was mavliyad in the cheshvin, and we don't assume that it's a tosh. I was once sitting in Rav Shir. I came late. Vishamis the ka'amar, curry, curry. And I heard Rav was talking about curry, like melons, gourds, he was saying a halacha. I missed the ikar chaser. I didn't know what the halacha was, but something about curry. After Rav got up, Amri Lohu, my curry to come Rav. So I asked the Talmidim, what was Rav talking about? Amruli, they told him, Hachi come Rav. This is what Rav was saying. Hi, man, you have Zuzuligino. If somebody gives money to a farmer, a curry, to buy curry, because the asar curry b'nei bat zarta. And the price is that for a curry that is the size of a zeres is a small shear, so you'd get 10 for a certain dollar amount. For Amalei, and he told him, Yehivna lach bnei garmida, that if you give me the money up front, I'll give you these melons, but I'll give you bigger ones. Not small ones, I'll give you bigger ones. So what's the halacha? Lesnuhu isnu shari. If the farmer has those bigger ones right now, then it's okay. Less new awesome. If he doesn't have it, it's awesome. Freit the Gemara Pshita. It's back to the envelope arithmetic based on everything that we've just been saying. What's happening is you're fronting the money. As a result, you're getting a better deal. You're getting bigger melons as opposed to smaller melons. That's ribis. But being that it's derech mekechu memkar, it's only ribis derabanan. What's the halacha of ribis derabanan derech mekechu memkar? Yesh loy mutter ein loy aser. Which is exactly what Rav said in Shir. Isnuhu shari lesnuhu aser. Freik de gemara pshita. That's Rav Shir. Mao de tema. I would have thought, keep it in the middle of karu abu shaper domino. Rav was saying a very big chiddush. Because these small curries are going to one day be big curries. So I would have thought that he does have it. He doesn't have it. He has the underlying thing that one day will result in that. So I would have thought that's enough for it to be constituted as a yesh like kamash or not. Says the Gemara, come on, kiay tano. Rav's chiddush was taka chiddush, but it's in line with the following price. The Tanya, if somebody is on his way to milk his goats, or to shear his sheep, or to take honey out of a beehive. He met his friend. Rama Lady told him, you want? I'll sell you what is going to come out of my goats. Meaning, I'm about to milk my goats. I don't know how much milk is going to come out. Whatever it is, you want to buy it? They agree on a price? I'm selling it to you. See, the Allah is, it's okay. What would be the tzad that maybe it shouldn't be okay? Maybe it's ribis. Because the buyer is giving the seller the money right now, he's fronting him the money, and it could be that at the time that he delivers the milk or the wool or the honey, it's going to be more than what he got. So at first glance, you could argue it's ribis. Says the brisa, it's not, it's mutter. And the reason it's mutter is because we have no idea how much he's going to deliver. When is there ribis? Ribis is where it's a dollar for a dollar's worth of schayra, or a dollar for a dollar ten's worth of schayra. So there you're running into it, but over here we have no clue. This is a regular investment, it's a risky investment that this buyer is making. He's going to buy based on how much chalav's going to come. Maybe more, maybe less. We have no idea. We'll see later what the real lumdus behind this is. But the bottom line is that it's for that reason that it's poshut that it's going to be mutter. But let's say he says, listen, I know my goat and I know how much milk I'm going to get out. And if you give me $100, I'm willing to give you $110 worth of milk. He's very specific in terms of how much milk he's going to give him. But the punchline, of course, is that he's giving him more milk than the money that he's getting. And the reason he's doing it is agar nater. He's doing it because he's fronting him the money. Then already it's going to be aser. Says the Gemara, in this price, you see Rav's Chiddush. That's ki haitano. Why is that? Because the afagafta memela karavu, the milk, the wool, the honey, it's all coming in memela. Still, it's aser. Why is it aser? Ribis derech mekachememker. Now, I thought ribis derech mekachememker is mutter where it's yeshloi. The territories will tell me it's ainloi. But even if it's ainloi, but it's coming, the milk is not coming. The wool isn't there? Of course it's coming. Zokta Gemara must be that Avagafta Memela Karabu, keep it the lesson by Hishaita Aser, which was Rav's Chiddush. That even though you have the smaller gourd right now, but being that right now it's small, it's not big, even though it's going to be big, you can't look at it as if you have a yeshloi on the bigger one. But the Gemara says, so the Gemara, that's Rav. Meaning Rav said a chiddush, that was this year that Rav Kahana heard. And this chiddush is really something that's before the price. Ikadami, some say, Omar Rava, that Rava said a different halacha. Kim the Menelik Rava Shaper Dami. Not like Rav. That in the case of the small gourd and the larger gourd, even though you only have the small one, you don't have the larger one, but you look at it as Yeshle regard, Vrek the Gemara Vatanya, then had his shtim with the Brisa, meaning Rav said that it's Osir. and you don't say the svar memela karavu. That was kehaitana. I mean, we had a raya from this braisa. Rava argues with Rav, therefore, we didn't have a kasha from this braisa. So how are we going to answer this braisa? Vatanya kach v'kach haser. Sok the gemara, it's different. Hasel lav minei karavu. The shokli ayvasi achrida beduchte. Hacha minei karavu. This is different. The actual gourd is going to grow. Meaning the gourd is here, and it's the same exact gourd that I'm going to deliver later. It's going to grow. Over here, all the milk that the Eiz is going to be chaylev is not necessarily here. There's some milk here. You're going to milk it, it's going to be replaced with more. You're going to milk it, it's going to be replaced with more. The point is that lo yasi achrin beduchte, this is already different. Amar Abaya, one more halacha. Shari le the inish lemeir le lechavre. A person's allowed to tell his friend, hey lechaba zuzi, achavisa dechamro. Take four zuzim. I want to buy a barrel of wine. So far, so good. Itakfa, this is the agreement that he makes with him. If the wine goes bad before you deliver it to me, b'shoscha, I want you to have to bear the loss. Iyakra, izila, if it goes up or down in price, meaning the price of wine appreciates or depreciates, b'shusi, I'm willing to take the risk. So Ruvain is buying something from Shimon. He's giving him the money right now. He's paying fair market value. However, he stipulates the following condition. That if between now when I gave you the money and when you deliver the wine, something happens to the wine, I want you to bear the loss. If it goes up or down in price, I'm willing to accept that. Otherwise not. Abaya held, it was a chiddush, and it's for that reason he said. So much so, we're going to see in a moment that Rav Shravi is going to ask Abaya, I don't even understand halacha. I think it should be ribbos. Now, Tosfos has a big suffix, the bottom Tosfos, what the case is. Tosfos in his first pshat says, it's talking about the shamashach. We're talking about where he physically bought it. He bought it. He did Meshicha on it already. Now, once you do Meshicha, there's no case of ribbis anymore. The case of ribbis always is where I just gave you money. The kinyan wasn't consummated yet because Mois is not koinus. It's only koinus in the Mishapari. You're going to deliver the schayr at a later date. That's where we're running into issues. But if I did Meshicha on the chayfetz, then you would think at first glance that there shouldn't be a ribbis problem over here. The reason there could be a ribbis issue over here. Now, Abaya said it's mutter, but the reason Abaya had to speak this out in sheer, he felt that this was noteworthy, is because being that based on the agreement, the buyer is not taking on the full risk that a buyer usually takes, so it looks a little like an agarnatar. It looks a little like a ribbis scenario, because usually if I buy something and then it goes bad, so I, the buyer, am the one that has to bear the brunt of whatever happened. If I didn't take possession, I wasn't koina yet, then it belongs to the seller. So enachinami over here, I bought it. It's true, I taka paid for it. But being that the seller still has exposure, because if it goes bad, the arrangement was that the seller is the one that's going to lose. So it almost looks like right now the mecher is not chal. I'm just giving you the money. Later, you're going to give it to me. What happens if it goes up in price? So now we're running into issues already. So it should be tali maybe if yeshla, or ainla, and all the sugis of ribbis derech mekach memker. Stating that, Abaya said that being that I did meshicha, in this type of arrangement, even though if it goes bad, the seller is the one that's going to have to bear the brunt, as long as me, the buyer, am going to benefit from the appreciation, and I'm going to lose from the depreciation, the halach is, it's mutter. Rav Shavi told Abaya, I disagree, because to me, this is a classic example of a transaction, which although it was derech mekuch memkar, but it's karav l'schar, it's more likely that the buyer is going to benefit, get more than what he paid, the rachuk lahafsid, and the chances, the probability of him losing is actually rachuk, and the halach is that any time you do a transaction, derech mekach u'memkar, if it's karev l'schar v'rachuk lahafsid, it's considered ribbis, albeit ribbis d'rabbanan. So again, why is this karev l'schar? It's karev l'schar because he benefits from the depreciation, but it's rachuk lahafsid because if it goes bad, then the seller is the one that's going to end up losing. So again, Abaya had to speak it out, because it is a chiddush, being that the seller is the one that's going to lose in the event it goes bad. It is a little bit like an agonator. But l'besoif, Abaya paskin, that it's mutter. Rav Shravi's kasha was, I agree, Abaya, with the premise, why you felt you had to speak this out when you were learning Perek Ezo Neshech, because it is not a classic case. It is a little ribbistic. But whereas you came out, l'maisa, that it's mutter. I hold l'maisa, it should be also. Amaleisa, he told him back, keeping the kabbalah, zula karv l'zeleza. You're telling me it's Karav l'schar, rachem and ahasib? I think it's karav l'hafsid too. The reason it's karav l'hafsid is because what happens if it depreciates? We said the buyer is the one that has the exposure in the event that it depreciates. So the buyer benefits if it appreciates. The buyer has the exposure if it depreciates. It's true if it goes bad, it turns into vinegar, then the seller is the one that has the exposure. But the bottom line is, from the buyer's standpoint, it's karav l'schar, It's also karev le hefsid. It's for that reason halacha lemaisa Abaya held that it's at the end of the day going to be okay. This whole idea of karev le schar rachak le hefsid is very important as it relates to the halachas of ribis. But if you take a look at Rashi, Tanya bepirkin davayin amar aleph, this ties into the whole hateriska, exactly how that works. But the bottom line is that's already going to be for the latter part of Perek Ezo Neshech. We'll leave it for them. But before we go weiter and before we start the next mishnah, so Rav Nachman taught us klala deravisa, the rule of ribis, kol agar natar le'asa, stating that we know that there's ribis deiraisa and there's ribis derabban. Ribis deiraisa, two criteria have to be met. Number one, it's derech hava. Reuven lends money to Shimon. Number two, the ribis was kitzutza, meaning it was set, it was established at the time of the halva that there was going to be ribis. If it wasn't established at the time of the halva, meaning Reuven loaned Shimon money on January 1st, the loan is due July 1st, and April 1st, Reuven went over to Shimon and Reuven said, you know what, I was thinking that, you know, you have my money, I loaned it to you, it was an interest-free loan, I'd like to add to it an interest payment. It's aser, of course it's aser, but it's not ribis deiraisa. Ribis deiraisa is where it's ketzutza. At the time that the loan was consummated, if there was a ribis associated to the loan, that's ribis deiraisa. Now the truth is, the Gemara said on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, we went through it quickly, like we go through everything, but it's a very important line in Perek Ezo Neshech. The Gemara said, Shma Mina Sima Milsevi. And the context over there was the Pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim, Perek Chav Beis Pasuk Chav Dalet. Kesef Tal Ves Ami, Esa'oni Imach, if, or Rashi says, this is not an im, that's if. This is an im, that means when. There's a mitzvah that says, the Eraisa. It's a form of tzedakah. We spoke yesterday from the Chavetz Chaim and Havas Chesed. For a person to lend his friend money, Esa'oni Imach, Loisiyo Lekenoisha, Loisa Simon Olav Neshech. So the Gemara says that you see the Isra Loisa Simon Olav Neshech is right at the time of Kesef Tal Ves Ami. Pasuk's not talking about payment, don't give the malva more money than you took, or don't be tevea more money than you loaned him. Loisa simon olav neshech. We're talking about the sima. Don't shtel avek the loan with neshech, with ribis. The iser ribis is sima milse. What's interesting is a shaylan the poiskim. Does that mean that even if the loan never ends up being paid, just because they established the loan with ribis, the malvin the loiva were over nisa de raisa? Or does the Gemara sima milsi just mean that when the ribis is paid, then hover hadavah the mafreya, then not only were you over the iser of altikach mimenu neshech, those isurim, there's a separate iser of loisa sima olav neshech, but it has to play itself out. There's a tshuva from the Avni Nezer, where Avni Nezer said a chiddush that it could be the only time you're over the iser of loisa sima olav neshech is if the loan actually plays itself out. But to the extent that the loan doesn't play itself out, it could be there would be no iser of we'll get back to that in a moment. Additionally, just some good halacha l'maisa, if Reuven and Shimon engage in a loan, Reuven lends Shimon money, there's no hateriska, so you're not allowed to charge any ribis, but there's penalties associated with the loan. So if Shimon doesn't pay by a certain date, there'll be certain penalties. Is Reuven allowed to charge Shimon penalties or no? The answer, of course, is no. You're absolutely not allowed to do that, because the Reuven getting the money, or whatever consideration he's going to get as a result of Shimon paying the penalty, will be viewed as agar nater. That's going to be ribis. Where the poskim say you are allowed to charge Shimon is legal fees or professional fees that are associated with the loan. Meaning if there's a fee that the lender would not have had he not loaned the money, so then we look at it as if it's a loss that he's incurring as a result of this loan, and he has a right to pass the buck over to Shimon and tell Shimon, at the very least, make me whole. I'm not allowed to make money off you, but I don't have to lose money off of you. So that's already something that maybe would be okay. An interesting tshuva from Rav Moshe with regards to ribis. Rav Moshe was actually asked the shaila with regards to Maisik Sofim, and that is, we're very aware of what inflation is. And if you're not sure, $100,000 50 years ago could have bought you a building in Manhattan. Today, it can't get you a townhouse in Lakewood. So what that means really is that money doesn't have the same purchasing power today that it had once upon a time. Meaning, money goes down in value with time. So the shaila is, and Hilchos Ribis, if Reuven goes over to Shimon, and he tells Shimon, I'm going to lend you money, $10,000, pay me back in 5 years. But here's a chetzur Shimon. We both went to the same yeshiva. We studied economics. We know that the $10,000 that you're going to give me back in 5 years from now is not going to be worth the same $10,000 that it's worth now. So I'm not going to charge you interest, but at the same time, I don't have to lose. I could charge you professional fees. So can I adjust the loan at the very least for inflation? So there'll be a clause in the contract that says that we're going to sit down in 5 years from now and we're going to see what the rate of inflation was. And based on that, we're going to adjust what the dollar amount should have to be. So there's a truth from Moshe. It's a chelik beis yeridaya. Simin Kuf Yodal. The original shayla that was asked to Ramosha was actually not with regards to ribbis. It was with regards to the halachas of Meisr Ksofen. The shayla was that somebody bought a house 50 years ago and he paid $100,000 for his house. 50 years later, he sells it for $1 million. He made $900,000. He has to pay Meisr. So if he's going to pay 10% Meisr, he has a $90,000 bill. If he pays Chaimish, he has a $180,000 bill. He has a Festa bill. So he asked Ramosha with a whole chap. He said, 1 second, it's true I made $900,000, but if you adjust it for inflation, my $100,000 today would probably be worth $800,000. So I'm looking, I made $100,000, so for that I'm willing to pay myself. That was the shayla that was asked Ramosha. Ramosha, right in the beginning of the tshuva, says that it's funny. He was just asked a similar shayla by, even mentions the yid's name, who asked him the shayla. Reb Reuven Gross asked me the same shayla regarding ribbis. He wanted to know, could a lender charge a borrower ribbis adjusted for inflation, just based on this idea? And the first Mara Mokin that Reb Moshe is mitzayin for this shayla is, we just learned it not long ago, the first sugya Perek Hazav, and that is when money loses its purchasing power, inflation. Klaus Reb Moshe, a chakira, a lobbis. You need your thumbs for this. How does inflation work? Is the pshat that money went down in value? I mean, the dollar today is worth less than the dollar was worth yesterday? Or the dollar is a dollar? It's constant. The fact that I can get less for my dollar means that the price of everything around the dollar went up. Tachlis, you have less money in your pocket. But the question is, in lobdus, how that works. Is it that the money is going down in value? Or is it that everything else is going up in price so that memela, it acts as if the money has less value, but in reality, the money is constant, it's worth what it was worth. And the truth is, that was Perek Hazav, when people swap money. Zohar for kesef, kesef for nechoshes. So we look at one as being the tiva, one as being the constant, the other one as being the peiros. Rav Moshe goes through this tshuva, and then he says that regardless of how you look at it, it could be Dina de Malchusa. Dina would have to be the one that would rule at the end of the day. And from a Dina de Malchusa standpoint, maybe there'd be a chel between ribbis and ma'isik sofen. The bottom line is it's aser. But it's a fascinating tshuva. It's in Yerideya, Chelek Beis, Simin, Kuf Yud Dalet. Another shayla that the poskim discuss, and that is, what if a malva is a Yori Shamayim? There's no way he'd ever be malva beribbis. He's lending money to a yid. He tells his lawyer, I want you to put in the contract certain penalties if the borrower doesn't pay back. Now, chas v'sholem, I'm not going to collect it. I know it's in his ribbis. But if the borrower knows that I might collect it, I might go after him, at the very least, it would work as a deterrent and it would be a good motivating factor for him to want to pay up. So could you do that or could you not do that? So I saw in Rabbi Reisman's Laws of Ribbis, Rabbi Shlomo Reisman wrote the Laws of Ribbis. So I saw he said it's partial. It's totally in the Machlokes HaPoskim that we mentioned that earlier. If Lois Siman Olav Neshech is Osir, even if it never comes Lidei Gvias Achoyv, then it's Pashit, that it's going to be Osir. If you're going to tell me that it's true Sima Milsi, Lois Siman Olav Neshech, but it's only if it comes Lidei Guvaina, then it could be it's going to be okay. But he brings, what about a reverse Shaila? What about a person borrowed money by ribbis, a yid, he wanted to borrow money, he went to a friend of his, the friend was not a Yari Shemayim, he said, I'll lend you money, but I'm charging you interest. So he said, okay, no worries, but he walks right out of the lender's house, says, Meshiga, I'm going to give him interest, it's way too chaber. He never had any intention of giving her, is it okay or is it not okay? He says, that's pashut is going to be aser. Because, let me buy you if you hold that the Issa Lois HaSimon Olav Neshech is aser just for the loan itself. So you engaged, you a party to a loan that has ribbis in it, that in and of itself is something that's going to be aser. But here there's a Gnevis Das issue as well. So the bottom line is, a couple of interesting shilohs that come out. Just one other big time, Machloikis Rambam and Raibig with regards to the halachas of ribbis Ketzutza, maybe for another day, and that is, what would be if Reuven loaned Shimon $10,000 for a year? A year comes, Reuven goes over to Shimon, you owe me $10,000. Shimon tells Reuven, Would you please extend the loan? I'd like to work out an arrangement with you. Could you extend the loan? Reuven says, I'm willing to extend the loan, but I want to charge you interest now for the extension. Is that something that's going to be mutter asa? Now, l'chura, ribis rabbanon, it's definitely going to be. The shaila is ribis k'tzutza. On the one hand, you'd argue that this is not the haschala of the loan. Ribis k'tzutza is at the time that the loan took place. This loan took place a year ago. But then again, the loan came due. And now that you're extending the loan, maybe we look at it as a new loan. And if it's a new loan, this new loan has ribis. It's a regular ribis day rice. The Rambam and Hilchas Malva V'loi V'perik Vav Halacha Gimel. Hoiru Rabbeisai. I heard from my rabbi. If somebody loans his friend money, and then the loan came due, and he offers him ribbis to extend the loan, says the Rambam, it's avak ribbis, meaning it's aser, but it's only ribbis drabon, it's not ribbis deraisa. Because being that they didn't agree to this ribbis at the time of the halva, that's not ribbis. Shenemar leisitin lebeneshech. Omer Avram says the Ravid chayei roishi. Sometimes the Ravid gets very dramatic. So this is from the more dramatic ones. He doesn't understand. Lo yofa hayru. This is why the Rambam's Rabbi in Paskin. It's not a good psak halacha. Shemigiyaz mana peroyin va'arvach lezimne mishum ahu dira kishas matan mois tamio. The arvachas hazman should be like a shas matan mois. And to the extent it's shas matan mois, avadet should be also. And then the Ravid lakes su two words that when you learn Masechtas Kedushin, is marish elomis v'kedushin yoichichu, says the Ravid. Learn the sugi of Mekadosh Bebilva, and in the sugi of Mekadosh Bebilva, you'll know that I'm right and that the Rambam's wrong. The bottom line is, it's an interesting machlekes Rambam Ravid. There's a tshuva for Rabbi Kiveger, I saw Rabbi Reisman brings, that what would be if you have a loan that doesn't have a due date? It's due on demand. So whenever I want it, I can get it. So then that's Pashit, that according to the Ravid, which the Poskim will say we Paskin like, we go Lechumah like the Ravid, then Avada, anytime you want to give somebody Ribbis, it's always going to be off. I mean, the only time it's not Ribbis Ketzutza is if the loan is Lahedya not due right now. But if the loan is due or it could be due, it's going to be okay. He just adds to that, that a lot of loan documents have a notice clause, so that if you want, you can demand payment, but the borrower has 30 days, there's a cure period. So what if you have to give notice? Now that you have to give notice, does that mean that the loan is really not due right now? V'haraya, he has 60 days to get his act together before he pays. Says Avadana. The way the loan is written is that the loan is due now. Grada, there's a seder advarim of as far as how the gvias hachayv goes. It's just interesting that you sit down. It's unbelievable how many different nuances and variables you have when you learn the sugyas of ribbis, but just one interesting lumbus as it relates to ribbis ketzutza. So in the Paiskim, they discuss some of the shilos that we talked about. Again, this is just a drop in the bucket. Tayamel chayim zachu. But the lumbim have a whole different ribbis ketzutza. They're learning a whole different sugya, and the lumbim are busy with Rabar Chber. It's a Masechtas Kedushin in the sugya Mekadesh Bemuva. He brings there that the emes is, how do you understand ribbis ketzutza? In order for ribbis to be ribbis deraisa, it has to be ketzutza, which means it's fixed to the loan. Which the lumdim understood must mean that the loan, which obligates the loiva to pay the money that he borrowed, is also this that obligates the loiva to pay the ribbis. Because to the extent that the loan itself wouldn't be what obligates the loiva to pay the ribbis, then it wouldn't be ketzutza. Ketzutza doesn't just mean that it was talked about at the time that the loan was consummated. It means it's fixed into the loan. And just like if I borrow $10,000, I have to give you $10,000. If we agreed on 10% interest, the same mechayev of the $10,000 is mechayev the extra $1,000. That's the oimik of ribbis ketzutza. It's a chelik of the chayev. When we make up later, I'll give you another $1,000. That's very nice. That's an arrangement that we made, but that's not part of the chayev. The whole significance of ribbis ketzutza, argue the London, reasonable, that is that the ribbis is a chelik of the chayev. That's what makes it unique. That's what makes it ribbis ketzutza. And based on that, Rabbi Chber brings from his Rebbe Reb Chaim that he was very bothered. How exactly does the ribbis become a chelik of the chayev? How does that happen? So Reb Chaim said words that just like if Reuven buys something from Shimon, Reuven and Shimon can agree on a price. So too, when Reuven borrows money from Shimon, Reuven and Shimon can agree on how much money the loiva is going to have to pay the malva. Meaning, usually you assume the price of the chayev is whatever was borrowed. Said Reb Chaim, no. You see, from Ribbis Ketzutza, it's not the way it works. The price of the chayv is similar to the price of a sale. And just like the price of a sale is a mutually agreed upon price, as long as there's no way, no, you're not getting involved in issues of that. We can agree on whatever we want to agree on, and everything is going to be okay. A chayv works exactly in the same way. But the lamdim, I saw in that Teresh Shmuel, they don't like this, and they have a very hard time understanding that. And that is because Pashit in Lamdis, there's a nafgamina between the chiv that a loiva has, we'll go through this quickly, and the chiv that a mazik has, or any other chiv mama, for example. When someone's mazik, Reuven's mazik, his friend Shimon's item, Reuven now has a chiv to make a mole. That's a chiv mamin. That's mutl ar karkaf to the gavra. I have an obligation now to give you money. When I borrow money from you, it's not an external, abstract obligation that I have to give you money. The reason the malva has a claim to the loiva is because the loiva has the malva's money. There's a mamoni gabach. And the lamdim argued that it could be and passes the mamoni gabach on the money that was physically borrowed by the loiva. But the money that the loiva didn't borrow, the money that he only is obligating himself b'shas k'tzisos achoyv to have to give back, being that there's no mamoni gabach on that because he never took it, so where does that chiyuv come from? Obviously, Reb Chaim was coming to be mechadish that it's not the way it works. But at first glance, it is the way it works. And one of the rayas they bring is that sugya of kamar b'derabah b'nei. We know that if somebody is mechal Shabbos, the karash shirayim bali chasi, at the same time he was mazik his friends, aydin, so the halach is no chiyav mamon, because kamar b'derabah b'nei. You have a chiyav misa, you have a chiyav mamon, you have the chiyav misa, you don't have to deal with the chiyav mamon. If somebody would borrow money from his friend at the same time that he was mechal Shabbos, would you not have to pay back your chayv? Of course you would. Why? Say the same thing. What was mechayev me to pay the chayv? The halva. That's a chayv moment. At the same time, I had a chayv Shabbos. Chayv Shabbos, chayv moment. Say, come with the rabbi. So Baruch Ber says, it's in Birchah Shmuel, Mesachtes Bava Basra, Simen Zayin. The chilik is pashit. The reason a loiva has to give the malva is not because he has a chayv moment. I have a chayv to put on tefillin today. I have a chayv to learn Kriya Shema. I have a chayv moment. I have your money. It's yours. There's a mamoni gabach over here. It's not a chiyuv study. There's a mamoni gabach. So being that there's a mamoni gabach, that certainly is not going to be knocked out because of kamar b'derabah b'nei. Even with my chiyuv Shabbos, there's still a mamoni gabach. Either way, there's another mahalach in the lamdim from Shimon Shkap, where Reb Shimon said that it could be the mechayev that the loiva has to pay ribis is d'mei schiros. It's as if he's renting the malva's money. So if the malva gives the loiva money for a certain period of time, the malva has a right to charge the loiva d'mei schiros. So it's as if I'm renting your money and I'm paying you now d'mei schiros. The problem with that is that schiros, a seicher, is one of the dalet shomrim. A shomer by definition has yenim schefetz. Milva's lohitzotnetna. Being that milva's lohitzotnetna, l'chur it doesn't pass schiros. Either way, I'm bateresh shmul for some of the more lumdis as it relates to exactly how ribbits kitzutza works. Another mishnah. If somebody lends money to his friend, he can't live in his chatzah for free. Nor can he rent his friend's chatzah for less than fair market value. And the reason is because it's ribbis. So if you're a malva and your friend's a loiva, it's not so pashit how you could even interact, because every little thing may be deemed ribbis. Even though we know the halach is that if somebody lives in his friend's chatzah shalei midas, this is a sugya we learned together in Masechtas Bava Kamma in the second parak. It's the sugya of zenen v'zalei chaser. So if I live in your chatzah, you didn't even know about it, you don't care about it, you lose money as a result of it, I don't have to pay you for it. But let's say I'm your malva, I loaned you money, and now I lived in your chatzar, even shalei midas, sarach lalat sleischar. Now you have to pay. Why? Because if not, it's going to be ribbis. The living in the chatzar will be deemed ribbis. Maiko mashmalon, fake the gemara. I need Rav Yosef Arman Yumi. I need Rav Nachman for this. Tanin, it's our mishnah. Mavos chavei loyod b'chatzar yichin, aval yiski b'med b'chatzar b'nei shu ribbis. That's literally our mishnah, says the gemara. Even Masih, how we only had a mishnah, I mean, I would have thought how to be in the chatzar, the kaim l'gagro. Maybe our mishnah is talking specifically about a chatzar that the owner of the chatzar used to rent. The Gavad of the Megar. And we're dealing with a person that was in the market, he was looking to rent a chatzar. So the owner lost, the person that lived there gained. So you have a case where a malva loaned money to a loiva, and the malva had real benefit from it. So maybe that's the case of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah is saying it's awesome. And what would be the Chiddush of the Mishnah? Chiddush of the Mishnah, even though he's not giving him money, he's just allowing him to live in his chatzar. That's consideration, that's hanoya, and that's something that would be awesome. But let's say the chatzar was not kaim l'agra, and the person wasn't even looking to rent, he would never have rented. He'd freeload by you, or he'd freeload by the other guy. Hey, Malay, maybe over there it shouldn't be awesome. In a case where it's me, this is even there it's awesome. Some said, Amr of Yezbar, Amr Yumi, Amr of Nachman. A different halacha. Even though we have this halacha of Kaif and Amid Estoyim, let's say Reuven goes over to his friendship and he says, lend me money, And if you do, I'll let you live in my chatzar. That's awesome. Tzarech la'alis l'ischar, says the Gemara. Man damer halveyo, the first Lishna that said that even if they didn't speak it out specifically at the time of the loan, it's aser. Even though ordinarily ain't tzarech la'alis l'ischar, but in the Ribbis context, it's aser kolshkin halveni. This will certainly be aser. Uman damer halveni, according to the Madama that says that the only time it's aser is if the loiv and the malva, they speak it out. They says, I'll lend you money on the condition you let me live. Oh, there already, it's aser. My time, keeping the card, that's more chamer because they spoke it out. But it could be in the case where they didn't speak it out, it could be there, it will in fact be okay. So this is a very important halacha l'maisa, because it means that any time there's a malva and a loiva, which incidentally can happen at in the home setting as well. It doesn't have to happen dafka in the business setting where you're dealing with millions of dollars. It's very easy. I lend you something. It's not so complicated for there to be a malva relationship. But you see, it's not so pashit. Even though ordinarily you're allowed to live in your friend's chatzah for free because zenenev is alei chaser, but over here, this is something that could in fact be tricky. And the truth is, this is something that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Amav is chaveroi, lo yasim alocha ba'avdoi, afilu batol, v'lo yod b'chatzeri chinam, v'lo yiskim imenu b'pachas, afilu b'chatzeri. So there's a whole Shulchan Aruch over here. There's a whole bunch of halachis where it could be that this is going to be complicated. What the Rishonim discuss is what would be if the Malva and the Loiva are good friends. They've been lending each other things for years. Punk now, they're also Malva and Loiva. But it's something that they would have done anyways. Is it going to be okay? Or is it not going to be okay? So the Poskim say, based on Rishonim and our Sugya, Taisvis, the Rush, it's going to be okay. Where it wouldn't be okay is if it's something that's going to be Befar Hesia. Incidentally, one of the things they talk about Befar Hesia is let's say a gabbai can give an aliyah to someone. That's something Befar Hesia. Can you buy an aliyah for somebody? It's something that happens in shul. So if the consideration is going to be Befar Hesia, even if you would have done it anyways, it doesn't matter. Where it's something that's going to be Betzina, that's where it's going to be okay. I saw in the Sha'arim Betzion of Alocha, we'll end with this. He brings from Rabbi Yonis and Steif that he paskined something that seems very, very reasonable. He said that this that we say, that if Reuven and Shimon are old buddies, they've been doing each other favors for years. Now they're malva v'loiva. There's a whole bunch of halachas. It's not so simple. If you borrowed money from me, I can't just do a favor for you. Or you can't do a favor for me because it's ribbis. So if it's betzina, don't worry about it. If it's befarhesi, even though they used to do it, it's going to be a problem. Cedric Dennis and Steif, the only time he thinks that's going to be an issue is if the loan was done befarhesi. Meaning the whole issue of Bifar Hesia versus Betzina is like a Mara sign. So if everybody knows that he loaned him $10,000, and now Bifar Hesia, he bought him after Yaina, now it doesn't look good. See, even though he bought him after Yaina 3 years ago, that's probably why he loaned him $10,000. It was an expensive after Yaina. But the bottom line is that something that will be usher. But if no one knows about the loan, then just because it's Avshim Milson, it shouldn't be a problem. So I saw the Shomer Tzion Halacha says, very mistaber. How can the Poskim didn't say this? Bieris and Steif said it, but how come you don't find in the Poskim Kadmoinim, how come they didn't speak this out? So he thinks the reason they speak it out is because the halacha is that you're not allowed to lend somebody money b'chinam. You have to lend somebody b'far hesya. So it was pashut that it was b'far hesya, because you're not allowed to lend money, not b'far hesya. We'll see it's Gemara later in Parakezu and Neshechon. That note will just segue to a word from the Vilna Goyen. The Pasuk says, M'kesef talves ami esa oni imach. When you lend somebody money, as ami, you have to do it before hesya, in front of edim. It's something that needs to be done before hesya, as ha'ani. But when you give tzedakah, then matam b'seisa yichat v'af, that's already imach. So kesef talva, as ami, as ha'ani imach.